good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis, taking your calls and questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We are joined today by Andy Stevenson. We have some extra expertise. He's the general manager of J&J Garden Center, where the annual tomato sale is underway. We do have a question from one of our texters, guys, about tomato plants, and what is the best container for tomatoes? Wood, terracotta, plastic, and how big should that pot be? Do you want to take that one on, Andy?
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, with anything, I think bigger the better as far as a tomato, because that way it gives a lot better of a larger root system. You'd also want to make sure, as far as the type of container, whether it's terracotta or whether it's a plastic, whatever ceramic, I don't really think that matters. That's really not probably an issue. The only thing I'd worry about with like a terracotta or something like that is just remember that they can get moisture in them and freeze in the winter and crack, so you'd have to get a new one. My answer on this, I think just larger the better, and then also make sure that it's got a really good soil in there for that plant.
All right, let's take our next caller, Mike in Santaquin. Good morning. What is your question?
Hey, I got two questions for you. First of all, what is the best time of year to plant grass seed?
Well, it depends on the temperatures. Generally mid-April, so around now. We've been cool enough that it may not germinate quite as quickly, but as long as your soil isn't too saturated, I'd get it prepped and get it in, because it's much easier to do seed when it's cooler than trying to do it in the middle of July.
What about fall time?
Fall time, early to mid-September. The reason that is actually the best time of the year is the grass will germinate a little bit more quickly in the warmer temperatures. And now you'll definitely, even now, I'd recommend some, just a third of an inch of mulch over the top of the seed, but then it's going to be a necessity. But put a third of an inch over the top of the seed that you've just sprinkled on the ground. And the reason that the early fall is a great time for grass seed is that a lot of the weed seeds won't germinate then, because they require a winter dormancy, but grass seed doesn't require that. And so you'll actually get fewer weeds seeding in mid-September than you would in the spring, although now is a good time too.
Okay. Second question for you. I want to plant some blueberries on a raised garden bed on my patio. How deep do the roots go? How high should my garden be?
I would have those raised beds a couple of feet wide and at least a foot tall, but probably closer to 18 inches.
Okay.
And you're going to be using something like a raised bed mix with lots of organic matter. You're going to supplement those with some elemental sulfur, and then probably fertilize every couple of weeks with Miracle-Gro Muir Acid fertilizer to try to keep that pH down a bit to make the iron and other micronutrients more available.
All right, next texter is asking, Ton, what can they do about a bad infestation of cane beetle in their raspberries?
Well, if they're extremely old raspberries, over 10 years old, I would take the patch out and just replant with brand new plants that are virus-free in a new spot. If they're not that old, I would need to know the kind of borer, because there's three different borers that get into raspberries. There's the cane borer, if it's just like the, if it's the wasp that gets in there, it's slightly different. But what you will do is, when you see the tops of the raspberries flagging down because they've been chewed on in the middle, you start to clip those down every inch or two until you find the bug and you just clip it out. The next year, you start spraying the berries, and they can do that now, spraying the leaves as they emerge out of the ground about every week to 10 days with permethrin or 7. And when those blossoms open, you stop spraying.
All right. Next caller, Patrice in Bluffdale. Good morning. What is your question?
I have a couple of pest questions. I have started now the big burr plants, and the goat heads, I'm sure, will soon follow, and they're just all over the back of our property, and they don't seem to be reacting with the glyphosate, the Roundup. They just ignore it. I think they have kind of waxy leaves.
Can they do? In this situation,
plant or What do you think?
Well, if you need to spray them out and they're up and going right now, it will only kill living plants. And so anything that's still a seed, it won't touch. But for the ones that are germinated, I would actually use true Roundup because it has better surfactants than a lot of the like the knockoffs. And then I would still use a spreader sticker in it to increase absorption into those plants.
It's called True Roundup?
Well, it's just Roundup, like the brand Roundup, not Killzall or Rain Rodeo or some of these other ones. You want the real live Roundup because the extra ingredients make it penetrate into plants better. But then I would also purchase spreader sticker to, in addition to it, to get better penetration yet.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Now, Maria, really quick, on those, I'm assuming she either has dock or some sort of thistle, and those don't kill out with one spray. You can brown them out, and they'll come back a couple of times. And so she's definitely going to be spraying two or three or four times through the summer if it's bare ground.
All right. Next texter is asking, when is a good time to plant fruit trees? Does it vary by fruit?
Now's a good time, and it doesn't really vary. Any fruit trees that we grow here are very similar to their climactic needs. And actually, now is the best time to get good selection in a lot of our local garden centers. Andy, have you landed your fruit trees yet?
You know what? We've landed and sold out and landed and sold out. It's crazy. Everybody's buying anything that's edible as far as fruit trees and small, like raspberries, blackberries, stuff like that. We're very, very limited right now, but we're anticipating. We get a lot of our shipments up out of the Northwest, so we're doing our hardest to get some more allocation to us. But just remember, everywhere else in the country is doing the same thing. We've sold a ton and had a ton here. Just be patient with us and also the other garden centers that are out there. We're getting them in as fast as we can.
Andy Stevenson is joining us from J&J Garden Center, where the annual tomato sale is underway. One thing you do have plenty of is tomatoes right now, Andy.
Yes, we do. We have grown thousands upon 10,000s and 10,000s. I will tell you, we are already into our third batch of our larger size. So we're into our second and our third. So they could seem there again, like they're maybe a little, they're not as tall as you've had them in the past, which in reality, as a grower, it's been a lot better for us because we don't have to manage them so much, and they're a lot healthier and they're not tall and leggy. So just know that they're not humongous, but they're the perfect size for planting.
Right. People need to know they want to take advantage of this great price, and it's only for the next week.
Yep, it goes till this coming Saturday of next week, but we've got plenty, and I mentioned earlier, I have another batch of over 7,000 more, close to 8,000 will be here tentatively on Wednesday is when I'm supposed to be getting them, but I still already have an abundance of my own here, and they're restocking those every minute of every day.
And that's the large size tomato plants, half price at $2.25 each. And boy, I am just impressed at how much you've done to sanitize and make sure that everybody is social distancing and that everybody's taking it so seriously.
You know, we are. We're taking it very seriously, and we're doing a lot of things with sanitizing hard surfaces and credit card rings after every use and shopping carts, spacing people out in lines. We've added three more registers outside, which is a total of five, so you don't even have to come in the building. We've moved the tomatoes out front, some of all the varieties, and we're just to thin out people. It worked really well last weekend. We did it again yesterday once it warmed up. It's working really well. We're doing our best, and we want to just thank those customers that are also putting forth their best effort when they're here.
Right. The annual tomato sale underway at J&J Garden Center. We're going to take more of your calls coming up, 801-575-8255. Also, taking your texts at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thanks for spending your Saturday with us, the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your questions along with Andy Stevenson from J&J Garden Center, where the annual tomato sale is underway. Next texter is asking Ton, is it time to start watering? When should we start watering our lawns?
We should start watering when the rain diminishes and we get hot. Even though cities have turned on pressurized irrigation, at least where I live, I've received enough rain that there is no reason to be running the sprinklers. Last week, we had somebody get really upset because they thought I was picking on people testing their sprinkling systems, which is different. You do want to do that to make sure you don't have any leaks or anything. But in general, as far as watering, we don't usually turn those on and actively have the clock going until sometime in mid-May.
All right, let's take a call from Jerry in Provo. Good morning, Jerry.
Excuse me. Good morning.
Good morning. What is your question?
Well, I have this tree that I really like, but it's got a little bunch of shoots coming up from right down at the base of it that are forming their own little root base, and I'd like to get rid of that. And I don't know how to do that without killing the tree.
Now, did you say the tree is in a...
That come out of it, but then just more come up, and it just makes this ugly little cluster of wannabe trees coming up out of the base. Is there any way to get rid of that?
Well, and you said they're in a pot?
No, not in a pot.
Oh. The only way you can really keep them is just to clip them back.
Keep clipping them back.
Yeah, there's a product called Sucker Stopper and a few similar ones that when you clip, you can spray it and it won't generate any more suckers from that spot for the year. So you can slow them down. But if you tried to use something like a Roundup product or another herbicide, it would actually kill the mother plant.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. So I don't want to do that. But
no.
So you think Sucker Stopper is my only...
Or something similar, yeah. I've seen a few more companies coming out with versions of Sucker Stopper that are slightly less expensive.
All right, next texter, Ton, is asking when they should trim their snowball bush.
After it's done blooming, and immediately after it's done blooming. So when those flowers start to look ugly, go ahead and do your trimming, because it generates flowers for next year within a couple of weeks of this year's flowers being done.
All right, let's take a call from Kathy in Tremont. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
What is your question?
I have a ton of earwigs that I cannot seem to get rid of. They're in my garden and they're in my flower pots, and no matter what I do, I cannot get rid of them. And I was digging out yesterday and they're again, back again.
So, do you have a lot of mulch or leaf litter in your flower beds and garden?
No.
Okay. They do like to hide in that. And then what have you done in the past to try to get rid of them?
I have used little cage things. I have used eggshells around my plants. I have used like tuna and oil and buried them. But I just have so many that I can't seem to get them gone.
What I'll have you do is download Utah State University's earwigs fact sheet. So if you Google USU and earwigs, it'll bring it up. And it'll give you all sorts of methods you can try. But you may need to do some spraying. If you don't have a lot of compost and things that they're hiding in, I mean, one thing you can do is try to find why you have so many and then eliminate the habitat. But short of that, when you start seeing problems with them, Seven or Permethrin, and there's a few other sprays you can try, that as they try to feed on your plants and things, that they will, at least it will diminish the numbers. You could also try mass trapping a lot of cans with the tuna oil in the bottom and see what that does. But that fact sheet will give you all sorts of information, and hopefully it can help you start to get on top of that.
Okay. Again, where does she find that?
Google Utah State University and earwigs.
Okay. Our next texter wants to plant a raised garden with garden boxes in their small backyard. How high would those need to be if they want to grow things like Roma tomatoes, serrano peppers, onions, green bell peppers, that kind of thing? And when would they start growing them?
Minimally 6 inches deep. I'd rather see them at least a foot deep. And I would definitely fill them with raised bed mix. Many garden centers, including J&J, who's our sponsor today, carry very good raised bed mix that you can either get in bags or bulk. And then the tomatoes, unless you're willing to maybe protect them, that doesn't look like you'll need to with the weather over the next 7 days or so, but you can get those in fairly soon, or you can buy them and then wait till around Mother's Day to put them in.
All right. Andy Stevenson is with us from J&J Garden Center, where the annual tomato sale is underway. And Andy, tell us about the sizes of tomatoes and the variety that you have for us.
So we have all sizes. So the one that's on sale is our larger size for $2.25, and that's comparable to like a gallon-sized pot. But we also have other sizes. We have little tiny singles. You know, some people don't want a whole bunch of cherry tomatoes. So we have little singles that sell for 85 cents. And then we have the next size up, which is a four-pack, for some of those that want a few more, and those are for $1.98. And we have those in all varieties. And like I said earlier, I just got done counting. There's probably close to 50 varieties in all these three different sizes, and from the full range, from the cherries to the heirlooms to the hybrids, all your favorites. There's even, you know, some other fun ones out there that you maybe have never tried, and that's what I tell people. Try a new fun one this year and see if you like it.
And Tana, you reminded me that, boy, if you want to plant tomatoes, this is the best time that you're going to get the best selection right now. Isn't that true, Andy?
You know, it is. But I tell you what, we just got done the other day. We planted another 45,000 tomato starts in single packs and pony packs for those later sales. So as far, it is best right on this up front end to get a really good selection to make sure that, you know, there's 100% of everything you want. But I will tell you that we've geared up for this, and I've got another batch that will be ready as of this coming Monday. It'll be sellable of all of the varieties and all your favorites.
All right, but for that special price, half price on the large size tomato plants at $2.25 just this week.
Yeah, it runs this week, and it will go all the way through next Saturday. And we're getting a little limited on maybe a certain variety, you know, two or three. But all your big mainstays, your favorites, we've got those still in stock. And then I said earlier, we have another batch coming from another supplier that'll be here in the middle of next week.
Well, Andy, we appreciate you. Thanks so much for being with us and for sponsoring the show today.
You are welcome. We're great to be a part of KSL.
All right. Anton, I'm going to try and squeeze one more question in here. The person asking, when is the best time to spray their cherry tree for worms? And do they spray the trunk or the branches? What is the best information you can give them?
When the fruit turns straw yellow with maybe just a blush of pink is when you start spraying. And it's critical that you watch, because that usually happens right when we are about 85 degrees. And then they ripen within about a week of that. So you may only need to spray once or twice. And there are some organic sprays out there that you can use. You'll probably have to spray twice, or you can use others. The garden centers will usually have three or four things registered, but the critical times when the fruit turns straw yellow with just a blush of pink, and you need to watch, or otherwise you'll get worms.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. We'll be back next week taking your calls and questions.